Okay, so being at the beginning of this man, so I thought that it would be kedai to say some words of chizuk haTorah, chizuk for learning, and I think because after all, when a person comes to yeshiva, so the goal of coming to yeshiva is to learn and to grow in Torah. It happens to be that the Sutton, as I've mentioned in the past, the Sutton, I think, has more fear of yeshivas than anywhere because of the fact that the yeshiva represents a place where a person could be transformed into a totally different person. Right? The Chazal say that Kol HaMelamed as Ben Chaveru Torah is Kilu Yoldo, that any person who teaches Torah to his friend is as if he gave birth to him. So what does it mean, as if he gave birth to him? So we mentioned in the past, because when you give birth to a person, so a new person is brought into the world. When a person is taught Torah, a person transforms into a new person. He's not the same person anymore. So therefore, the Chazal used that lashon. It wasn't an exaggeration. It wasn't a loose connection. But the pshat is that it's ki'ilu yoldo mamish. In other words, the same way a person who's born is a new entity. So too, a person goes to yeshiva, he could come out of yeshiva a different person. He's not the same person anymore. He learned, he was matzliach, he was inspired, he was influenced, he grew in Yerushalayim. He's a different person. But the fact of the matter is that there's a tremendous Maisa Sutton that goes on everywhere, in every yeshiva in the world, that makes it that people somehow become unhappy and they don't feel that they're accomplishing anything and they get down and so forth. So I wanted to share a few words. I am not feeling so great, so I don't think tonight will go over the time, but Lamaisa just wanted to share a few words, empty promises, but Lamaisa will share a few words that in this inyan. So we have here in the Avestor of Nosson, very famous Chazal that everybody here I'm sure is aware of. So if you look here, this is a two-sided sheet, so one side is Avestor of Nosson. So it says, Ma'ayat Tilosol Rabbi Akiva. What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? So Amru, the Chazal say that Ben Arbaim Shana Haya, that he was 40 years old, V'lo Shana Klum. Okay, now, right now we're going to translate these words to mean V'lo Shana Klum, they didn't learn anything. Okay, we'll see at the end that maybe it doesn't exactly mean that. So Pam Achas Haya Omin Al Pi HaBe'er. So we all know the story that one time Rabbi Akiva was standing by some sort of brook, Omar, and he saw a rock that had been pierced, a rock that had a hole in it that had been pierced. So he said, Mi chokak even zu. Who is the one who pierced this rock? It's such an amazing thing. Amrulo, so the people standing by said to him, Hamayim, it's the water that did it. Shetodir nofum aleim. It's the constant water that's dripping on the rocks. So, b'chol yom amrulo, so they constantly, people would say to him, constantly after that incident, they would say to him, Akiva Yato Kare Avanim Sachak Umayim, that don't have you learned the pasuk which says that the water, Sachak Umayim, means crushed, the stones were crushed by the water, meaning that over a period of time, the stones were pierced by the water, is a pasuk that says that, and that's what's happening here. So the Chazal say, as we all know, Miad Hayi Rabbi Akiva Don Kal V'chomer Ba'atzmo. So Rabbi Akiva made a Kal V'chomer and he said, Ma Rach Posel Es HaKosher, that just like a soft item, like water, can carve out something which is very hard, like a rock. So Divrei Torah, SheKosher Kebarzel, Alachas Kama V'kama, SheYichakeku Es Libi, Shehu Posel V'dam. So Divrei Torah, which are strong as iron, so certainly have the ability to pierce my heart, which my heart is just Basav Adam. So Miyad Chazar Lomal Torah. So from that point and on, he was Chazar Lomal Torah. So it's Mashma from here that he was Chazar, that he had originally apparently learned. In other words, from the beginning of the Chazal, it's Mashma that V'lo Shana Klum, that he didn't learn, which most people, when they hear the story, take to mean that he never learned, that he Bechal never learned, right? But from the end of the Chazal, it sounds like Chazar Lomal Torah, that he went back to learning, meaning that it says, some want to say Pshat over here, which is that I'm going to assume that's correct, that really, when it says Lo Shana Klum, it doesn't mean that he never attempted to learn. It doesn't mean that he didn't go to yeshiva, but it means that he wasn't getting anywhere. He wasn't getting anywhere. Lashon HaKom, he had no accomplishment. But when he heard this, he went back to learn. He went back to learn. So if you turn over the page, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the Ari Yisrael said pshat in this the following way. Right? He said the pshat is like this. He says, he quotes here the whole Chazal. I'm not going to, the first, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines, he's just quoting it over. And then he says, on the 7th line, the middle of the line, he says, Ki Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Yisrael apparently is learning like we just said. He says, Ki Rabbi Akiva, B'tchilas Limudo, Be'ein Roshem Motzes Etzlo, Omar Noesh Lenafsho. That the pshat is, Rabbi Yisrael learns pshat, I think, different than what most people assume. And he learns pshat that Rabbi Akiva really had attempted to learn. But he found that the learning wasn't making any impression. It wasn't affecting him. So because he wasn't changing. So because he wasn't changing, so Omar Noesh Lenafsho. So he Noesh, that's a pasuk. In other words, he gave up. He was Miyayish. So the Herulo Stiras Hadovar, so they showed him that the contradiction to this, Meshvichas Mayim Al HaEven, from the fact that when you pour water on a stone, so listen to the way he explains it. Asher Lo Yeroe Me'uma Hishtanus B'HaEven. What he saw with the water falling on the stone is that when water falls on a stone, you don't see anything happening. When you look at the stone initially, right, water drips on a stone. So I don't know how long it takes to make an impression, an indentation in the stone. Maybe it takes years. But when you look initially, it looks like nothing's happening. When it starts dripping, so the first days, weeks, maybe months, you don't see anything. So what they showed him was, Vim kol zeh, hamechkarim besichlam gozrim, the people who think logically about this will understand, ki nasaroshim, that obviously something was happening. Ne'elam me'hergesh anushi, that something was happening that was imperceptible to the human seichel, that was imperceptible to the human eye. He has sibul hakikas ha'evan me'ribuy ha'mayim. In other words, because really, the at the end of the day, when a hole eventually started to form in the rock, so it wasn't from the last day's dripping that the hole came, it was from all the drips, just that it took a very long time to see anything. In other words, if you were sitting there watching the rock, when the waters, whatever point in time, the water started to drip, maybe it was from the Bria Salom, whatever it was, but when the water started to drip on that rock, if you would have been there initially, it would look like absolutely nothing is happening. But when eventually the piercing of the rock took place, so it became apparent that this is happening as a result of all the drips, which means that even the drips that looked like they weren't accomplishing anything, in reality were. Really something was happening. It was something that you couldn't see. But it was something that obviously was happening because of Birvos Hamayim, Birvos Hayomim, after a long period of time of water dripping and after a long period of time of this happening constantly, eventually something came from it that was perceptible. So he says, May Riboy Hamayim, Birvos Hayomim, May Hiskapsus Harishimos Habli Nirgoshos, that this was a result of a conglomeration of all of the little drips that were imperceptible. So what Rabbi Yisrael is saying, pshat, is interesting, the her in the Chazal. In other words, everybody knows this Chazal, but I don't know that we think exactly in this point. In other words, everybody knows that Rabbi Kiva was inspired, that he's, in other words, pashat, everybody assumes that the pshat is that Rabbi Kiva thought that he couldn't learn. He thought that for whatever reason that the learning wasn't for him, and then they showed him that look, you see, it's possible for something to break through. You think your heart can't learn? It's not true. It's not any worse than the rock. But according to Rabbi Yisrael, it's a little different havana. According to Rabbi Yisrael, the problem that Rabbi Kiva had was not that he didn't think he could learn, but rather it's that he was learning and he felt that he doesn't have anything to show for it. In other words, he was learning. And I don't see any change. I don't see any difference. So what they showed him was, with the water piercing on the rock, is that all the drips made a difference. The first drip may have taken 10 years. for there to be, from that constant drip, it may have taken 10 years for there to eventually be a hole. But when that hole came about, it was a result of every single drip, starting from the first one. Which means that the first one was also making an impression. It was also making an impression. Just that it was an impression that a person could not perceive. So what Rabbi Yisrael is telling us over here is, I think, a very important thing that we have to hear when it comes to our own learning. A lot of times a person learns in yeshiva, and you say, all right, so, you know, yeah, I believe that the Torah is great. I signed off on all of that, you know, because that's what we're told and from the time you're born. And you see so many people learn this and the other thing. But when it comes to every individual, it's very common that a person gets down because a person thinks that, okay, but who am I? Am I on my way to being the next Reb Chaim Kanievsky? Am I on the way to be the next Reb Eliashiv? So what am I? I don't really see anything's happening. So we have to hear this point, that this is what Reb Yisrael is telling us. Every drip makes a difference. Every day that a person learns, every Seder that a person learns, every minute and every Seder that a person learns is making a difference. He may not see the change right away. But eventually, when things start to fall into place, which could take an undetermined amount of time, for a person to be mushva, for a person to feel that, you know, I see I'm really growing, I feel I'm really gaining, when that day comes, it's the same as the mushel with the, that means that everything made a difference. Every piece of Torah made a difference. Every word that he learned made a difference. And therefore, I think that this is something that we have to take very much to heart, that it's upsetting and it's frustrating. You know, everybody wishes that you would sit down to learn and see immediate results, and you'd go look in the mirror and you see already, oh, it changed. I don't look the same anymore. I look already like a Ben Torah, like a Talmud Chacham, you know, and so forth. But it doesn't go that way. It's not the way it works. A person who's learning has to have some faith. A person has to have some emunah. That emunah, not Hashem. Emunah, not Tarmin Hashem. Yeah, of course you have to have those emunahs. But a person has to have, there's a basic emunah that a person has to have in the way Torah operates. The way Torah operates is not necessarily the same way other things operate. The way Torah operates, that's what Rabbi Yisrael said, that's what they were telling Rabbi Kiva, that Torah operates like drips, and all the drips until that hole came, anybody who passed by the rock would say, nothing's happening, big deal, so water's dripping, so what? But eventually something came from it, and that was l'mafreya, a result of all those drips. So therefore we have to strengthen ourselves. There's no way around it. The Chazal say divrei Torah tzrichim chizuk. They weren't kidding, right? In other words, that Torah requires chizuk. What does it mean it requires chizuk? It's not easy. It's not easy to learn. It's not, especially in our times, probably never harder than it is in our times, because there are a million distractions and there's a million opportunities. It used to be, you know, I forgot who it was, a certain gadol, I think it was Rav Yitzchak Huttner, once told some chever from the yeshiva who went to speak to him, that back in the day, that he said, you should know that when I was young in Eastern Europe, he said, Eastern Europe after World War I was a churban like you never saw in your life. He said that the place was totally destroyed. They had bombed out buildings all over the place. He said half of the male population was killed out in World War I, where they fought for years and years and accomplished nothing. And he said, at the end of the day, there was absolutely nothing to feel good about. There was nothing to feel good about. When a person lived there, there was no pride. What's a national pride? How much pride do you have when you wake up every morning, walk out of your house, and see every house on the block is half bombed out? Right? There's nothing to feel good about. He said, so the only thing that people had to feel good about was Chachma. That was the only thing. So Lamaisa, he said, in that type of world, it was easier to learn. Because that was all. There was nothing. There was nothing to feel good about. What could you feel? Nobody had any money. Nobody had anything. Everybody was down. Everything was dark and ugly. So the only thing that a person could feel good about was Chochmah. So that's what people prided themselves in. So people sat down to learn and learn and learn and learn, because that was their geschmack. So for us, let's say 80, 90 years later, the world is completely different. Right? Today, you have a million things to feel good about, right? The average frum kid growing up is a fan of all the sports teams, right? So he's a fan of this baseball team and this football team and this basketball team, right? So you have a million things. They didn't have that. They didn't have that. Who are they going to feel good about? They didn't feel good about the Goyim. The Goyim were out to kill them. So nobody took pride in anything that the Goyim, they may have been interested in watching the Goyim play, but they weren't, but they certainly didn't feel any pride in that. There was nothing else. There were no opportunities. People didn't have opportunities to do very much. Jews were blocked from a lot of parnosses. A lot of, a Jew could not be easily a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. It wasn't possible. So it was a different world. Today we live in a world where there's a million opportunities and there's a million distractions, and therefore Lamaisa, it's a very big challenge. And when a person comes to yeshiva, it's a very, very big challenge to be able to be mechazik ourselves, to sit through a seder. It's very hard. Plus, on top of that, we live in a world of instant gratification. So therefore, today, if you don't know what a word means, you type it into your phone and you have the answer right away in English. You'll get the dictionary definition in less than 2 seconds. And if you don't know what the square root of 679 is, you can get it in 2 seconds on your phone. And if you don't know this piece of information, who is the 23rd president of the United States, you can get that information. So you can get everything at the push of a button. So when you sit down to learn a mesechta that's written in a language that people haven't spoken for 2,000 years, and you're saying, what in the world do these words mean? Right? I've never seen words with 18 syllables that have 26 letters, and it's one word, right? And it's very difficult. So there are a lot of challenges to learning. But at the same time, a person has to be mechazik himself to realize, and this is what they told Rabbi Kiva, that everything you learn makes a difference. In other words, it's interesting to hear that what they said to Rabbi Kiva wasn't that, you know, okay, it's an accumulation, but I might have thought there was an accumulation. In other words, you have a few good days, so, you know, this good day plus this good day plus this good day, when you put them all together, you have something to show from it. But they were saying, no, that it's every drop. Every drop means that if you're having a bad day, you're tired, whatever, and you're sitting and learning and you're sugi in the Gemara and it's not going so well, but a little bit you're learning, you're getting something, that learning makes a difference. That learning at the end of the day, at the end of, over time, that learning is going to transform a person. It's the same way. That's what they said to him. Every drip made a difference. So everything that we learn makes a difference. So therefore, we have to be mechazik ourselves very much. It's very easy, you know, when you look at Azman and you say, oh, here we go again, and it's endless hours and weeks and so forth, and at least Baruch Hashem, now it's not so bad, because not such a long Zman, and it's almost the summer, and all that, but still, there's still many days and weeks of learning. And it's very easy for a person to fall into a yish. It's very easy, not a yish that he's going to give up, but a yish that I can't, it's too much for me. I can't, and at the end of the day, what am I really gaining from it? We don't know what we're gaining from it, because you can't, this is what the Chazal is saying, you can't tell what you gained right away. But one thing that they're telling you is that every little thing makes a difference. So every little bit that a person tries in any given day, in any given Seder, that a person tries to learn, so whatever he learns, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference over time. That eventually, it's very. You speak to people who quote unquote made it, people who got into learning and became successful learners and so forth. So you ask them, is there one day that you could point to that the day came that all of a sudden you decided that it was for you? The answer is no. So Elamai, you'll say, yeah, but this guy probably from the first day was that way. But that's not true either. In many, many cases, you speak to a person and they'll tell you, no, when I started out learning, it wasn't so easy and I didn't know that I could do it. And it's very hard to pinpoint. It's very hard to pinpoint when the change comes about. But that's what the Chazal is saying. It's true. You can't pinpoint it. And sometimes inexplicable. The same, whenever that hole was made in the rock, there was nothing different about that day than any other day. It wasn't like that day a bigger splash of water came. It was just that on that day, finally, everything came together and boom! Now the impression was felt. And so it is with learning. And so it is with learning. It's not like you one day you wake up and all of a sudden now I see all the mysteries of the Torah are solved in my eyes. It doesn't go that way. But Lamaisa, the Chazal are telling us, and in effect promising, that every little bit makes a difference. So we have to tell us, this is something that we have to strengthen ourselves very much. A person should try very hard. This Sutton fights harder in yeshivas than anywhere, because yeshiva is the greatest threat to the Sutton, because yeshiva could transform a person. And there is no other place in the world that a person can be transformed like it could be transformed in yeshiva. And therefore, the Sutton works overtime. Overtime, with every imaginable tachbula, to get a person depressed, to get a person frustrated, to get a person who knows what, worried of all kinds of, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do this? Or in the middle of when finally gets into a tosis, and now he starts thinking, what am I going to do for parnasa? All kinds of thoughts that come into a person's mind. It's because of the fact that this is the greatest fear. The arch enemy of the Sutton is yeshiva. Is the arch? There is no place in the world that is as much of a threat to the mahus of the Sutton as yeshiva is, because yeshivas are places where people grow, where people change, people become different people. Kiluyoldo, they become a different person. So therefore, we have to. It's good to know this. It's good to keep this in mind. That person can't be thrown. You can't be thrown. There's good days. There's bad days. There's frustrating days. That's what happens. But over time. Over time, a person has to keep the faith. A person has to keep the faith, not the faith in Torah Min HaShemayim, the faith that what I'm learning is going to help me. What I'm going to learn today, you say, I'll cut out a Seder a half hour earlier today. What difference is going to make? So I'll learn another two lines in the Gemara. Those two lines in the Gemara are more drips. They're more drips. And who knows when the drips eventually are going to make the hole? We don't know. Nobody knows. It happens by every person at a different time. There is no formula. There is no point that a person could write down and say, well, the estimate is, no, you can call the actuaries, you know, like an insurance company, you know, they sit and figure out all the cheshbonos, you know, how long each person is going to live approximately, and this, that, and the other thing. Yes, and at what point am I going to become a Talmud Chacham? At what point am I going to start to really like learning? At what point is this going to get easier? They'll never be able to tell you, because by every person is different. By every person is different. But the bottom line is that what the Chazal are saying is that that's built into the system. It's built in that it's drips of water. It's drips of water on a rock, and eventually, somewhere along the line, every drip ended up mattering. So this is something that I think is just some words of chizuk that we have to try, especially at the beginning of the Zman. Every Zman is a new opportunity. Of course, then the Sultan comes and says, yeah, but it'll end up being the same as the last Zman. Here we go again. That's nonsense. A person could change at any time. That's a basic part of the human condition. A person could change at any moment. The person has within him, the Baal Musa say, that there's a koach ha'aliyah. There's a koach ha'aliyah in a person that a person never knows what's going to happen. There's a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I don't have it in front of me, but the Gemara says about Rav Chanina ben Tradion. I think it's fairly well known. Rav Chanina ben Tradion was one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. So it says there in the Gemara that he was killed in a very horrific way, that the Romans, because he was teaching Torah, so they wanted to really, torture him. So they wrapped him up. They wrapped him up in a Sefer Torah and lit him on fire, lit the Sefer Torah on fire. But to add to the rishus, they put between the Sefer Torah and his body, they put wet sponges. They put wet sponges so that the fire should not catch to the fullest extent, so that he should have a slow, painful death. That it shouldn't be like an unbelievable rishus. Who would even think of such a thing, right? The unbelievable rishus that this is how they were going to kill him. So it says in the Gemara that the Roman executioner was there and apparently was very impressed by Rav Chanina ben Tradion's faith. So he turned to Rav Chanina ben Tradion and said, and asked him, that if I would take off some of the sponges, can you guarantee me that you'll get me into Olam Haba? This is what he asked him. So the Gemara says that he said, yeah. He said, if you would do that, then I would get you into that. Then I'll see to it that I'll use my influence, so to speak, to see to it that you'll get into the Olam Haba. So it says in the Gemara that Hitaka took off some of the sponges, and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion died quicker. And after he took off the sponges, all of a sudden he had an unbelievable hira tshuva. This guy had an unbelievable hira tshuva. And the next thing that anybody knew, he quickly rigged up some sort of system that he killed himself. He committed suicide in a way that it fulfilled all the four Mises Besdin, Skilus, Reif, Harag, and Chenek. He devised some sort of system, and he died at the same time as Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion died. So the Gemara says that a baskol came out and said that Reb Chanina ben Tradion and this guy are both mezumanim l'chayolim haba. Those are the words of the Gemara. So the Alter Slabodka is brought in the Orat Sofen. So Alter Slabodka asked the Kasha that he said, it doesn't make sense. How did this person get from point A to point B? In other words, what happened? This guy, the executioner, was obviously a Rosh Marusha. I mean, who did they give those jobs to, right? To be the guy who's going to be the torturer? He's the guy who imposes the torture. So imagine what kind of tzaddik was picked for that job, right? So this guy must have been a tremendous Rosh. So Elamai, so what did he do? So somehow he was inspired to help Reb Chanina ben Tradion, and there's maybe in some level even as Russia like him couldn't bear the sight of this. Like what a gruesome way to kill a person. So it wasn't like he offered Reb Chanina ben Tradion to save his life. It wasn't like he said, you know, hey, look, you know, when nobody's looking, I'll put out the fire and you run and you know, whatever, I'll set up some sort of diversion and you'll escape. He didn't say that. He just said to him that I'll make it that you'll die faster. Okay, on the one hand, yeah, it's a chesed, but what kind of great chesed is that? And there's, you know, shkoyach. So in the end of the day, you're still doing a meiser rishus, but it's not as big a meiser rishus as it used to be. So that was point A. And from that point A, the next thing you know, the guy did a tshuva shlema. The guy did a tshuva, he had such a hirat tshuva that he killed himself with all the Abim Yisus Bezdin. So the altar is, how could be such a thing? That you would expect that there should be some progression. That, in other words, that's an enormous jump from point A to point B. You started out with a little maisa chesed. I mean, think about it. They're like, okay, shkayach, you know, you did a good deed. Who are you going to tell that good deed over to? You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, you made a little better. So now this man, instead of screaming for 2 hours, will scream for 1 hour. So that's the big thing that you did. And from that point, you end up doing a tshuva shlema. You're doing a tshuva gemura. So the Alter said pshat that you see from this that inside of a person there is a constant struggle between what he calls the koach aliyah and the koach hayirida. That inside of every person there is a constant battle between the koach and the yetzer atov that says to a person, go do great things, and the yetzer hara that says to a person, do the other things. And he said, Lamaisa, the pshat is like this, that this man, his whole life was involved in, most probably was involved in rishus and more rishus. But when he finally broke away, when he finally did an act of chesed, so for the first time, he was free. For the first time, he was out of the mode of rishus. So once he got out of the mode of rishus, so now he like threw off the whole burden of rishus for a moment. And in that moment, there's no telling what could happen. The Koach Aliyah kicked in. He was momentarily freed from the whole mahalach of Kilkul, the whole mahalach of Ashchosa that he had his whole life. He finally succeeded in throwing it off, without realizing it. He finally succeeded in throwing it off momentarily. And in those moments, he was a free man. So now the good in him kicked in, finally. So finally, when he was able to extricate himself from that type of rishus, so at that point, the person could go to who knows how far. The same way when people are involved in a tug of war, right? If you have to see, they're pulling the rope, and for a very long time, nothing's happening. They pull a little bit this way, a little bit that way. And then all of a sudden, one good pull, and whoosh, that's it. Right, so the same thing, the tension that exists in a human being, the koach ha'aliyah and the koach ha'yirida, a person breaks away from it, even for a short period of time, there's no telling what kind of aliyah a person could have, which is why no person could ever really accurately predict what they're going to be like in the future. Because you ask a person, what are you going to be like? Well, I must tell you, we just had the other day, I was in New York, we had the alumni gathering, and Chevra from the old-timers from the yeshiva came, and a lot of people came, and without going into detail, I met a lot of people. A lot of Chevra that used to be here in the yeshiva was very nice to see. And in some cases, people had real incredible aliyahs. Mamish, amazing. And unfortunately, one or two situations, I didn't say anything to anybody, one or two, I perceived in certain people that had a pretty good yerida. Since they left the yeshiva, right? But if you would have asked me back when they would tell me them here, what would you predict is going to be, I wouldn't have had it accurately. I wouldn't have had it accurately. And even though I knew them, but you just don't know because of the fact that this is what goes on inside of a person. So you don't know. A person can have a tremendous aliyah. A person can have a tremendous aliyah. Rechmal Tzlan, sometimes a person can have a tremendous, you read the two. So therefore, but what I'm trying to bring out is that at the beginning of a Zman, you can't go by the past. You can't go, you can't let yourself be brainwashed by, here we go again, another Zman, another Zman. Wait, it's not another Zman. It's a new Zman. It's a new Zman. If it's a new Zman, so it's a new beginning. It's a new chance. Not that, I know that sounds like, you know, rhetoric, you know, new beginning, like, let's make America great again, another great slogan, right? I need a better guy than, I have to find out Trump's guy to give good lines for learning, right? But the fact of the matter is that it's really true. In other words, you just don't know. You just don't know what's gonna be. And it could be that if a person gets himself in a good way, even for a short period of time, a person gets himself in a good way, he could have a tremendous aliyah, he could have an unbelievable Zman. It's happened. It's happened many times that a person, all of a sudden, after Pesach, whatever it is, right, the short Zman, but whatever, this Zman worked. I mean, the winter Zman, he was overwhelmed, he was psyched out, he looked at the calendar kept turning pages and pages and pages, and he still didn't see the end of the Zman. You needed, like, ultra, you know, binoculars to see the end of the Zman, right? But now, you don't need such great vision. You don't need such great vision. You could even take your glasses off and see the end of this month, right? It's not so far off. So maybe that makes it, it's not so overwhelming. It's not so overwhelming. A person could apply himself and possibly even a very short time period see tremendous hatzlacha. So I just want to say these words that, as I promised, I'm not going to go over the time. So I just want to say that this is something that, that we should all take to heart. Don't let the opportunity slip away. One last line. There used to be, the United States had an ambassador to the UN, and I forgot what his name was. He was a very, very sharp guy. So, and he noticed that the Arabs were always fighting with each other. And even though they were all against Israel, but they were always fighting with each other, and they could never get together, and they could never accomplish anything, because they all hated each other so much that they could never work with any achdus. So he had a tremendous line. He said that the Arabs never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. That's what he said. They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Right? In other words, the opportunities come and they miss it. Right? And they always miss it. They never miss the opportunity to miss the opportunity. Unfortunately, that can happen sometimes in yeshiva also. That a guy, the newsman, so the cynics, you know, say, newsman, come on. What are you thinking? In 7 months, nothing changed, so now it's going to change. This, you have to be able to shut yourself off from all of this. You have to be able to try to stay focused. A person should, you got to believe. You have to have faith. The faith that a person has to have when he's learning yeshiva is the faith that Limud HaTorah makes a difference, that Limud HaTorah changes a person, that Limud HaTorah is an accumulation. It's not a one-day success, and it's not a, this person said, oh, this guy, he was created to be a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't work that way. It's very uncommon that it works that way. Right? By everyone, it's a struggle on some level. But we have to keep focused and keep the faith, and Be'ez Hashem, if we apply ourselves, even a short period of time, we can have a great deal of Hatzlacha.